This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Business growth. People talk about how businesses need to grow constantly, regardless if it's to innovate, to compete against startups, or for startups or heritage businesses to disrupt themselves for growth. But how do you grow? And what constitutes good growth? This is Resource Center with me, Audrey Raj. And you guessed it, we're talking about growth today and how businesses can engineer growth in an age of disruption and sustain a healthy trajectory of growth. In the studio with me today are our friends from Crow Malaysia, Managing Partner of Crow Malaysia, Mr. Poon Yu Ho, and Executive Director of Crow Growth Consulting, Mr. Michael Lim Jr. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, so just to kick things off, I've heard this term bandied about many, many times, fit for growth. Most companies are supposedly fit for growth. What does this mean and how do they grow?
So a lot of time for companies, I think they need to understand where they are at this moment. I believe that every company is fit for growth. There's none that is not fit for growth, because unless the owners themselves say, hey, you know what, I call it a day, I want to stop growing, then that's the day the company stops growing, right? And a lot of times, I think the question of fit for growth comes into the equation of whether how far the company can grow in the same direction that they've been going, or how fast they can go, right, in the growth trajectory that they are looking at. So a lot of times when we look at a company, we actually look at the strategies of a company, and we also look at some of the scientific evaluation of where the company is at, and then we plot out where they're going. Some company needs to innovate themselves, because where they're at, the industry could be stagnant. For some companies, you know, they are in the right space, right time, and they just need to get the right element to go towards where they're going.
Right. And this whole term, engineering growth, like growth can be engineered, that you can set that trajectory to grow. What do you mean by engineering growth? Do I have it right?
Well, pretty much you have it right when it comes to engineering growth. I think today, if we look at where nations are going, where businesses are going, to a certain extent, we say that there is a percentage contribution, or you know, a percentage that we can attribute to natural growth, right? But a lot of times, over the past, many decades now, many companies don't go on just a natural progression of growth. In fact, they nurture that growth. And that's what it means by engineering growth. So we use the term engineering because, you know, when we look at engineers, they are the builders out there. You know, they build your buildings, they build bridges, they build things. And when they build, right, growth happens. So I give you an example in the case of Malaysia, right? You build a highway from the north to south, right? Growth happens along the towns of Malaysia, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and even in a township planning, right, you know, if you don't have road that you built to that area, nothing grows, it's stagnant. But the moment you actually connect that area, right, things grow. So that's why we believe that growth can be engineered, and it should be engineered for businesses.
Okay, and growth consultants.
Yeah.
How can growth consultants help businesses engineer growth or bring them onto a trajectory of growth?
Yeah, so I mean, we have got many, many models, but I think one of the easiest, which I think people can relate to, is when you eat rice. But I'm not talking about rice as in the rice that we eat, but a model called RICE. So it's a very simple model when you look at it from a business perspective. R looks at relationships. So what are the relationships that the business have? You know, with their suppliers, with the even the network of their customers and clients that they have. And then what about ideas? Because if businesses have ideas, you know, that itself gives an opportunity for them to grow. And then, of course, every business needs cash or capital, right? And then lastly, you need the energy, the entrepreneurship to grow the business. So a lot of times, just a very simple RICE model itself, we can actually look at how a business can grow depending on the strength that they have and where the weaknesses are. We actually complement that. And of course, the last thing I always share with business owner, you got to pay a price for growth. And the P over here is passion. So what's the price for growth? It's a passion that you must have passion for the business. You must have passion for growth itself, because if you don't have, then you know it's just going to be very mechanical.
What about SMEs? Because when I think when you talk about growth consultants, yeah. engineering growth, yeah. most big companies, I think, would be able to afford something like this. But what about small business owners, medium business owners? Would they be able to afford getting a growth consultant on board? And what can growth consultants do for businesses like this?
So a lot of times when it comes to SMEs, first thing they think is that, you know, we're expensive. Actually, we're not expensive. We are premium. So there's a lot of difference between expensive and premium. So expensive is when you pay for something and you don't get the value that you're looking at, right? Or what you, the value that you're asking for. Premium is when you pay and you get more than just that, and you know you have, you know, paid well. But at the same time, I think what's more important for SMEs here is that we're more interested in journeying with them. So we actually do cater our growth engineering in such a way that it is affordable, something that they can, you know, work with us. In fact, we love to work with SMEs because we find that the best growth happens at that stage. Because a lot of times when you, once you go to big companies, right, we are looking at the last 10 to 20%, but in SME sometimes the multiples are 3 to 4 times, and that's why for us, my team, where my team is concerned, sometimes what we'll, we rather take a, what you call as an opportunity kind of cost to work with them, and then as they grow, we actually grow together with them all the way.
Maybe you can give me some examples of businesses who have successfully innovated and have grown through growth engineering.
Yeah, I think there are a few. In fact, I've got a lot of examples, but just to give you an example, one would be an education group that we're working with. So I think about 2 years ago when we met up with the founder, she you know, she was really very different from all the other education group that we have ever seen out there. And she looks at, you know, how she can transform education into the 21st century type of education, making it relevant to what is education for tomorrow, right? And as I listen out, you know, her heart's desire, and then, you know, I said, hey, you know what, you shouldn't just be looking at local, because what you have can really go global, right? At first, she couldn't believe what I've just shared with her. She was in awe, and she said, "Nah, you got to be kidding me." But what we have done over the past 1.5 years to 2 years was this. We actually put in innovation in place. We put in even systems, corporate systems in place, you know, and at the same time, we also help her to redefine where the business will go. And today, I think she's now opening up a school in Hong Kong, a Malaysian group that's opening up school in Hong Kong, even in Indonesia as well. And she's even been offered to open up schools in Japan as well. And they've even won awards in Finland, one of the top for education in the world. And even some of the Finland education experts there recognize the efforts that they put in. Because in Finland, what they do is a concept, and they are striving towards a certain education concept. But they have actually recognized what this group has done and say, hey, you know what, you have turned that concept into reality today now. So I mean, it's just a simple thing such as that. And, you know, these clients are really looking at, you know, making their dream come true. So one of the taglines that we have is this. We always believe that, you know, we like clients who have global ambitions localized. Right, and where their local aspirations, right, globalized. So in the case of this client here, they have a local aspiration, but we can globalize what they're doing. And then as we go global with the ambitions, we localize it to the setting of the different countries that they're going to.
All right, we're going to take a quick break for some messages right now. But when we come back, we talk about how Crow Malaysia is helping businesses grow. Resource Centre with Crow Malaysia will be right back in just a few minutes. This is BFM 89.9.
Breakfast for Masters, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to Resource Centre. My name is Audrey Raj. And in the studio with me today are our friends from Crow Malaysia. Mr. Poon Yu Ho, he is the managing partner of Crow Malaysia and executive director of Crow Growth Consulting, Mr. Michael Lim Jr. Now, gentlemen, we've been talking about business growth just before the break. But I have a personal question, something that I'm really curious about. What is Crow Malaysia doing expanding from providing auditing services to engineering growth for businesses? Is this your way of pivoting?
Yeah, I think that will probably be one of the growth stories that we like to be engaged in. I think the traditional business of auditing, taxation, and a few other service lines that we have been quite mature type of services. But I think in Malaysia, when we see the country growing, especially businesses as well, I think there's a tremendous opportunity for these companies, you know, to think about how to engineer growth. And I think when we look at growth, it's not just one thing to grow, but I think there are quite a few techniques involved. And as you have heard what Michael has said, what he has not really mentioned in more detail is really trying to put ideas and capital and, you know, connections and all those things together to really be able to bring about growth. It is not that simple to say, I have this idea, I just want to do it, because most people don't have, you know, all the ingredients for successful growth. Yeah. So I think that's where, as a firm, we want to come in, work with Michael, and also work with our whole international network, you know, to actually evangelize this kind of a growth topic. Around the world, actually, really to be able to let Malaysia be a leader, you know, in this area.
So how are your growth consultants working with businesses, and specifically small businesses, to engineer growth? Like, what do they do?
I think all businesses have got this need for growth, and especially, like Michael said, for SMEs, you know, the potential for growth is a lot bigger, because principally, I think it's because some of the SMEs have got the desire and the ideas, but I think they actually lack quite a lot of the ingredients. For example, how do they go and find funds other from banks? What other ideas do they have other than, you know, finding more customers and more channels of selling and all that? How about new business models? How about franchising? How about, you know, multi-level? How about, you know, many other ways of doing it? So, and how about even things like acquisition of other companies, you know, mergers and all that? It may mean that they may lose a bit of control, but there are ways of overcoming all this. And so it's really putting the whole thing together and have a business coach, you know, to guide you along. And that's where our growth consultants come into the picture.
So it's also a bit of giving them that bigger picture mentality of what their business could potentially grow into.
That's right. Absolutely, yeah.
So, I mean, most of my team members are actually engineers by profession. So, in not many words, they look at things from a very detailed level as well. So, as much as we look at strategy, big picture, you know, I mean, we also look at how we can look at the small little things in the business that make sense. So, a very good example here is this: we were working with one of the heritage business, and what happened was this: the heritage owner, which is a third generation business owners, came to us and said, you know, they want to go, they want that heritage business to go from where it is to a modern setup. But at the same time, we also share the same belief system that, you know, you can have something modern, but you don't want to lose out your legacies as well. So what we did was we modernized the way how their retail outlets are. We modernized their kitchen. But we actually still keep a lot of their legacy heritage within that same business. And, I mean, even a simple thing such as sizing down their retail kitchen from a 300 to 400 square feet to 110 to 150 square feet, which is really compacting the entire design, right, and optimizing it. That alone takes a bit of understanding in sectors like healthcare. So we brought in some healthcare elements into an F&B business to look at how that can become really optimized. And then at the same time, we plan out their strategy. So today they have, I think, from about 4 outlets, a heritage business, now they've got about 30 old outlets. And if they were to expand into countries of a higher cost like Hong Kong, Japan, they have no problems, because at the end of the day, their kitchen size is about 110 to 150 square feet, where you have really high costs, rental area, costs in those countries out there. So, I mean, you know, resonating with what Mr. Poon shares as well, we do realize that there's a very good synergy and complementary services when it comes to audit, tax and growth. Because as we grow the clients, then the next thing we realize is that they need to basically learn to you know, make their tax more efficient for them. And sometimes, to a certain extent, we also need to structure the company properly. So, well, we are not looking at statutory items, but bringing that knowledge from the other side to growth engineering kind of brings a whole package for the clientele.
Yeah, especially at this time when we've moved from GST to SST, you know, everyone out there needs a bit of help.
Yeah, a lot,
yeah. That's right.
Also, is there a good time or the best time to bring in a growth consultant? I mean, do you have to do this only when you are facing a bit of trouble or you're having an issue with your taxation system? Or should you be thinking about something like this at the get-go, the beginning of kicking off your startup? Sure. Or is this something for people who are only looking to... Well, grow, like from when you see your business kind of stagnate for a bit and then you feel like, okay, there is time, there is potential for growth. When is the best time to bring in a growth consultant?
Well, just like a human stage of development, right? At every stage is the best time to bring in a growth consultant. It's only, well, it's just different formula for different stages, right? So like babies need milk. So when companies like startups, right, they need a different type of ingredient than, you know, a company that's a bit more matured. So for us, we have kind of mapped out different stages. So we use the word consortio, which is a Latin word for partnership. So when you're a startup, when you're new and you're being incubated, sometimes a lot of what you need is partnerships. You know, partnership alone means also partnership with funders, with, you know, networks, you know, with people who have ideas, or, you know, with people with the entrepreneurial energy to come in and help them out. Then we have got this thing called as a crescendo, which is a term for, you know, moving very fast, rapid growth, right? And a lot of times crescendo is where we look at catalyzing growth. You know, when they have found the right formula in the marketplace, they have hit a certain critical mass where they know it is time to really go out and capitalize on that, right? Mm. And then, of course, we have got our usual consulting work where it's, you know, the company is a bit more stable, they are a bit stagnant, and that's where we got to infuse in maybe different business ideas, different, you know, industrial applications from, you know, a very different, you know, subsets altogether, bringing them to a new era of, you know, their golden growth, if you look, if you like to look at it. Then, of course, we've got capital, because eventually, once they have grown or once they are growing, right, you need to have an advantage. And when the numbers are stacked up, you know, it is right time to then raise the funds, to then bring them to become a, you know, a market leader, or if not, you know, the certain position in the market, or to make them a kingmaker in the market that they are in. So we do see growth at every different stages. However, we have also seen cases where the company can no longer grow, because if the owners have made too many so-called business blunders, you know, where you've seen you know, what I call a business that's gone into a comatose, right? We have actually advised one of the gas distribution business many years ago. They are number two in one of the particular state, and they've made too many blunders to a point where I said the best way for you is to cut your loss, move on, and grow differently in the life that you want to lead for the rest of your, you know, the years to come. And that's what they did. So he left, I mean, he sold off the business. We re-looked at the whole thing, and today he's a happy man. So again, sometimes growth might lead you in different areas, but we have to be, we have to be very objective. We have to face the facts. When the rubber hits the road, you know, we don't tell the client that, hey, yeah, continue growing, when we see that the hole that they have dug themselves is too large for them to be able to take themselves out of it.
Yeah. You're killing me by not mentioning the names of these companies.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to take you outside and have you tell me all the names
after this. Yeah, that's right.
Recently, I understand there was a report by Crow on decision-making. Was there anything interesting in there about decisions that drive business growth?
Yeah, I think what we did at Crow Global, the headquarters was that we did some research on how companies make smart decisions that will create lasting value. And we found that companies that make good decisions, of course, had big increases in the market cap. And some of the good examples were like Atlas Copco and Volvo and Apple and all those. But we also found that there were also certain areas where they make good decisions. And a few of them were like, for example, we had people who we had companies who had diversity in terms of gender, in terms of nationality. And when you get a mixed group of people like that, you tend not to have so many blind spots when you make decisions. So especially when decisions are big, it's more important that you spend enough time and also have this diversity to look at all the various angles, and you probably make better decisions that way. Other areas we've noticed that people have done very well in making good decisions is really to be innovative. And I think sometimes we have to, in a way, either force ourselves ourselves or have to, you know, work with people to be able to look at the innovation element in any company. And if we don't innovate, sometimes we get disrupted. And when we get disrupted, we may be out of business, and it's quite difficult to come back in the business, because once a death spiral comes in, then it's all the way down, you know, instead of coming back up.
Death spiral. Yeah. That sounds dangerous.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And the last one that we had, that we looked at, was bonus. And I think a lot of successful businessmen, even in Malaysia, one of the examples is quoted of a Malaysian businessman here, who actually was very bold in venturing to a new business. And I think they are, you know, doing extremely well now, just mainly because of bonus. And I think bonus is definitely one of the key elements in making good decisions. Yeah.
You know, I think one of the parts for smart decision here for businesses is to understand there are seven, to me, you know, another model that I'll bring here is seven M's. So the first thing is they need to understand is their monetary strength. Then the mind of the owners, you know, where are they at? Are they creative? What are their strengths? Then the next thing we look at is the managers running the business. And then you need to look at manpower as well. Then you need to look at their machinery, because every business needs a system to continue to replicate the same success. Then we look at marketing. How good are their marketing efforts? Then the last part of the M is external to the business. But, you know, like how Sun Tzu Art of War used to say, right? The first thing you do before you wage any war, right, is to look at the seasons, right? So the last is market. Understand the external market, you know, when you look at growth. Don't go to a market where, you know, the headwind is against you, because it makes no sense, right? You're fighting an uphill battle. Yeah, and of course, all these are very analytical in some sense. Some are probably a bit more subjective. But coming back again to our firm's tagline, every smart decision sometimes has to be accompanied with lasting value, because, you know, sometimes that lasting value makes a lot of difference to the business itself. People might not just see a smart decision. If they really could associate with your lasting value, then the business sometimes grow because of the values that you present to the world. You know, a very good example is how Body Shop has certain values that they present to the world, right? And people actually subscribe to it. You know, even the same for our heritage business. People saw the value in the legacies that they have preserved.
Right.
And, you know, when they dine, they loved it, you know, and when they take away the food, right, it is done in a very nice packaging, not just a normal packaging. And that itself is pride when people bring that kind of legacy food around.
Right. Okay. And for our listeners out there who recognize that they are fit for growth, where can they get more information on your services?
Yeah. So, just visit our firm's website, www.crow.my, and look for our growth consulting tab. And of course, there's other areas too that we offer. And feel free to check us out entirely as well, because there are certain things which I don't do, and I'll be more than happy to bring in the whole team, right? To give what we call, to look at a holistic, a total solution to looking at the entire growth of the business itself.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I've been speaking with Managing Partner of Crow Malaysia, Mr. Poon Yu Ho, and Executive Director of Crow Growth Consulting, Mr. Michael Lim Jr., on business growth and the need for growth consulting. If you miss any part of this show, you know what to do. Go visit bfm.my to look up our podcast. Or better yet, just go get the BFM mobile app and let your favorite podcast come to you. My name is Audrey Raj, and on behalf of our friends from Crow Malaysia, thank you for listening to Resource Centre on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.